Well, good morning again to each of you. Again, a privilege that we have to be together. I've been very much blessed already this morning. Thank you, Brian, for those thoughts. Thank you. Was it you, Conrad, that led the singing? Lift up your eyes into the heavens. Trust that we will continue to do that. And the song, the thing that struck me there is, you know, this life has turmoils and all of that, but it's only, it's good to remind me that, was it there in the second verse, I believe, that it said, peace I ask, but peace must be. How does it say that then? In other words, only Lord in thee, only Lord through thee, however those words were. And so often we can seek for peace in so many different ways, possibly, but it was a good thing for me to ponder that it is only through the Lord that we can have peace and a calming of heart and mind. So this morning I want to continue on again in the Christian home. Last Sunday we shared, I forget what the title was, but well, maybe you remember. Anyone remember what the title was last Sunday? There you go. Youth are preparing our children to face life. It would be interesting if you could remember the, what did I have, 11 or 12 points maybe? Trust that those things continued to stay with us as we pondered that. This morning, I would like to think about technology. Where does that come in the Christian Home series? I've entitled the message, Children and Technology. Children and Technology. And in a lot of ways, I feel very inadequate for speaking on this subject. But it is a real concern of mine. If you would ask my children, they would probably recognize that. One of them this morning, when they heard what I was going to preach on, they said to the others, "Look out! We're going to have to have a fast on technology for the next week." Or I forget if a time was put to that or not. But it's some things that I think about, some things that we talk about occasionally, and try to give direction. But I don't feel like I've done everything just right in this. I certainly needed this subject to think about this subject again. It did me a lot of good. And I trust that it will be an encouragement to each of us as we think about our responsibility as parents in this of raising our children in the digital age that we are today. We'll talk a little bit more about that. For a passage of Scripture, turn with me to Titus chapter 2. I'm not going to really make much comment on this, if at all. I'd just like to read some verses here. It's kind of a base, I guess you would say, for what we want to talk about. Titus chapter 2, begin reading in verse 1. "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. And the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet," "to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Now, there's a number of things in here that we could talk about. Responsibility of being serious about life. The verse that probably drew my mind to this portion of Scripture is largely in verse 7. And all thy things showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Now, in life, we don't need to always be going around with a long face and all that. That's not what that means. But yet I think we do well to be reminded of the gravity of life, the seriousness of it. And especially as we think of raising our families, it is a serious time. God would have us to enjoy it. God would have us to, that would be a joyful time in our life. And yet, yeah, we do well to be reminded of the seriousness of it. The far-reaching effects that you have in your home setting today as parents. So, thinking about this, children and technology, I'd just like to encourage us as parents, and particularly fathers, to take the lead in your home, navigating a safe course for your children. Technology is not neutral, but by its very use, it will have either good or bad consequences, maybe even both in different ways. There are a couple of things I want to say about technology before we get into some practical points. But number one, the thing I want you to think about is that with technology, there is always a cost. There is always a cost to technology. Even if it benefits us in one way, there may be a downside to it, and probably is. Technology often has unintended consequences that we may not see or think about. Technology has been advancing from back in the beginning, but I think it's probably safe to say that it is advancing faster today than in the past. You know, back in the Old Testament, in Exodus, in Numbers, in the Kings, where I thought of one incident, and there's many that we could think about, but in these there's accounts here. I think in particular of you have brass that was used to make vessels of the house of God, and later that very thing was used to make idols for people to worship. What am I saying by that? It's because technology that we have today can be used for good and for bad. It's not something that we can just, well, it's bad, we aren't going to deal with it. That's not the case. We know that. With technology, we have tremendous opportunity today that we didn't have not so many years ago, of spreading the gospel across the world faster than we ever did. Our culture has surrendered to technology. Not sure if that's the right way to say that or not, but yeah, in a lot of ways I believe that's the case. Our culture has surrendered to technology. I ran across this article by a man named Neil Postman. And he wrote about the dangers. This article was written, I believe, in the early 1990s. He wrote about the dangers of technology back then. Well, I wonder what he would say about it today. But he gave the example an interesting example to me, and I didn't check any more into this to check the validity of it, but this is what he said, this is what he talked about in this article. He gave the example of when the clock was invented, and he writes about the origin of the clock, a piece of technology that, you know, we probably all take for granted. And he says how the clock was invented for one purpose, but it had many unintended consequences. Again, I didn't verify all this, but he said in this article that the clock was created in a monastery so that they could better serve their religion. It was to be rung to signal the ceremony hours. The mechanical clock was a technology to provide precision to these ceremonial rituals. I found that interesting. Well, it indeed did that. But what the monks did not foresee was that the clock would become a means of not merely keeping track of the hours, but of also controlling the actions of man. You think about that. And thus, by the middle of the 14th century, the clock had moved outside of the walls of the monastery and brought a new and precise regularity to the life of the workman and the merchant. That's what he said in that article. The mechanical clock, or he went on to say, the mechanical clock made possible the idea of regular production, regular working hours, and a standardized product. Without the clock, capitalism would have been quite impossible. The paradox, the interesting fact, is that the clock was invented by men who wanted to devote themselves more religiously in their religion. I found that article interesting. And he went on to say that technology produces ecological change. It changes our environment, how we work and act in our homes and workplace. Technology doesn't change just how we do things. It changes our world, how we live and breathe and operate. So, I just say again, technology often has unintended consequences. So, the second thing I want to think about is that technology can cause us to rely on ourselves instead of God. That's pretty basic. I'm sure you understand that. Technology can cause us to rely on ourselves instead of God. There is a real danger in that. The Tower of Babel is the story of people using technology to disobey God. God originally called the people to fill the earth, but instead they congregated to one city together to build a city and a tower that would reach up to heaven so that they could be like God. We know the account. We know the story. And we see technology of different levels throughout all the eras of time. We certainly do. They used their technology, probably not wrong in itself, but they were, in this case of the Tower of Babel, they used technology, probably not wrong in itself, but they were using it for the wrong purpose. And that's something we need to think about today. The Apostle John had a vision of Babylon the Great as an adulterous woman. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and was glittering with gold, precious stones, and pearls. She held a golden cup in her hands filled with abominable things, Scripture has to say. Babylon used technology. I want to say this here this morning, that I believe that how we use technology is, finally, it comes down to an overflow from our hearts. You turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4, and, well, if you care to, I'm just going to read one verse there, and it's a verse we all know, but Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 tells us that. Verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Above all else, above all things, guard your hearts in this world of technology. within the world in which we live. Why? Because everything we do flows from your heart. We can have the right perspective on technology. We need God to come and deal with our hearts, and that's the only way that we can. God cares about us so much so that he gave his son on the cross. The Bible begins in the garden, and in Revelation it ends in the city. Found that interesting. The New Jerusalem. Our story today, your and my story, begins in a place with very, I'm thinking of us older ones anyway, it begins in a place with very little technology. I'm not sure if that's even accurate to say. There was plenty of technology back then, but maybe a lot more so today. But today, things are progressing, and our lives are coming to the point where it's just filled with the technology that we have so readily available today. Moving so rapidly. We know that. It's hard to keep up with all that. And there are effects. And that's what I want to think about. the effects of technology on our families. And what are we doing about it? Are we being proactive? I'm going to mention that later. Let's remember something. True it is that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. When I think of technology today, I can hardly imagine how it was 100 years ago. So much has changed. Anymore, when you even as much as ride on an airplane, it's right in front of you. It's right there. It used to be that riding on an airplane, I don't know what it was, either you sat there and were bored, or you used that time as visiting. But now so often that screen is right there presenting things right in front of you, and you can do who knows what. You can do almost anything you wish, probably not quite, but with that screen. And most of the time they come around anymore and pass out earbuds to the passengers, and you can entertain yourself. Everyone has the option of being in their own little world, receiving entertainment, not socializing with anyone else, not socializing with the people around you. Today, how many people do you see walking down the streets totally oblivious of social life around them? And even more than that, oblivious of just anything that's around them. Earbuds hanging out of their ears in some form or another. They're totally in another world. It's impossible almost to communicate. And then maybe you walk up to someone and ask them a question, and it's oh, what'd you say? They're off in their own world. Maybe, just maybe, we get pretty close to that sometimes. Something for us to think about. This morning, the God of this world has a plan. He has a plan for this world. And although it is under the control of a higher power, the Almighty God, things are marching rapidly on to an end. In such a time as this, we have families. In such a time of this, the people of God need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, and live as sheep in the midst of wolves. How do we do that? I think of the entertainment side of technology. When we think about the effects of technology on our family life today, I did some research. I'm just going to share some things that I found in my reading. But when you think of the effects of technology on your family, on our family life, today gaming controls children. Today there are so many children who have no idea what the real world is like. I know children who are so caught up in this that it is almost all they can think about. The whole entertainment system is, this morning, is a part of the devil's plan to control people and to control the way they act and the way they think. And it's being accomplished. Even when there's great poverty, there are many who have TVs, cell phones, video games. Those things are so important to them, even in the midst of their poverty. See that in traveling to Bangladesh, and even here likewise. But poor people, you can about always count on it. They're gonna have some of these things. They're gonna have things that they can entertain themselves with. I have a few writings or articles I come across that I want to share with you. Here's something from a secular writer. It says this: our addiction to smartphones is damaging American mental health. Today's phones are so powerful, fast, and filled with dazzling images and worrying tidbits of information from social media and the internet that they are virtually impossible to resist. This isn't stuff that I got out of the Christian Contender. This is a secular writer saying these things. He goes on to say, who among us hasn't looked up at least once, smartphone in hand, slightly dazzled, only to discover that precious bundles of minutes or hours have somehow slithered by, usually in exchange for no discernible enlightenment at all? I'll be the first to raise my hand. It's happened. And we probably all would have to admit that probably has happened to us already. Some more information from some reading. The average smartphone user checks his phone about 80 times a day. The average smartphone user checks in about 80 times a day. Texting, phone calls, Facebook, media. Americans now sleep, eat, and breathe media, consuming some form of it an average of 12 hours a day. Well, scientific research has linked smartphone usage to decreased concentration, lower problem-solving skills, and depression. For youngsters, smartphone addiction is truly disastrous. And I believe we need to think about this. We need to think about this, particularly as fathers in our homes, the impact of electronic devices on our children, and not only on our children, but on ourselves, the impact that is having. Rising number of children lack the motor skills needed to play with building blocks. I remember well, you know, having a tub of building blocks and trying to see how high I could make that thing, or maybe it was Legos or something like that. Well, so many children are lacking the motor skills needed to do just that. Why? Because of the addiction to the screen, to tablets, computers, and smartphones. Many, many children, and we know this, we've probably experienced this with our own children in a measure, but many children just at the age of 2, 3, 4 can swipe a screen and know what they're doing, know what they're trying to figure out. Is that all bad? I'm not going to say that it is, but I'm not ready to say that it's good either. I think we need to think about those things. Many children at a young age can swipe a screen but have little or no dexterity in their fingers after spending hours glued to iPads. Members of the Association of Teachers and Lecturers also warned how some older children were unable to complete traditional pen and paper exams because their memory has been eroded by overexposure to screen-based technology. And these people call on parents to crack down on computer use and even turn off Wi-Fi at night. That's what they're recommending, some of these people. Today, there is no easy way to relieve the burden that technology puts on us, puts on our children and on us. When I was young, I remember well that the time of payphones. How many of you youth even know what a payphone looks like? Maybe somewhat. I remember well, you know, I go on a trip and I needed to call Dad and stop at a gas station and go into that booth, open up that folding door and go in there and get in there and shut it and get the phone. And we had the privilege of making a collect call or putting money in it. Payphones. We don't know what that's like. And usually in these payphone booths, there was a big, thick phone book. I don't know what all they covered, but big phone book. How many of us know about what a phone book is today? Interesting things to think about. Those payphones aren't around anymore. If you had trouble on the road, you hoped someone would stop, or guess what? You started walking. I remember having a real long cord on the phone that we had hanging in the dining room. A phone hanging there on the wall. You know what that is? Phone hanging on the wall there. I still remember well the long cord that we had on that phone that Dad could step out on the deck or go to the next room to talk if he didn't want to hear what we were talking about. And then I remember when the cordless phones came along, and we thought that was pretty great. We could take, you know, had the base set up just at the right place. It had a couple little antennas on them, and we could go in another room, and this was amazing. But guess what? I remember when we first started getting it, or when we first got it, very quickly it was like, where's the phone? I can't find the phone. Oh, I had it in my room, or I had it, it's down in the living room. We lost track of it. We hardly know what cordless phones are today either. Still have one sitting on my office, on my desk in my office. I'm not sure why. It's been many years since it's been used, but it's still sitting there. Maybe I ought to clean the dust off of it and we look at it a little bit more. I'm not sure. But anyway, that was the technology we had in the past. It's continually moving on. Now we have these cell phones today that we carry with us in our pockets. They're there. And I believe it's time for us to look at these clever devices that we say are saving us so much time. Are they really? We as parents must have something solid and stable in our lives. And we need to thank God that His Word doesn't change. I'm thankful for that this morning, that God has a standard that has remained the same down through time. And we can go to that. We can look at that. We had better, if we're going to make it, we had better have a firm grip on what God's Word says, because there are waves of alternative voices saying so many other things today. Are we allowing Jesus to fill our hearts so that we can be entering that new city someday? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." I have four questions I want you to think about. Number one, how do you use technology in your home, and where is it? Number two, what are some of the unintended costs of technologies in your home? I think those are things that we need to think about. Be intentional about thinking these things. Number three, where do you see technology benefits? Where do you see technology benefit or help others? Where do you see number four, where do you see technology hurt or disadvantage others? It's my goal this morning as we look at some of these talk about a little bit more practically some of these things, that it'll help us to come together and be reminded of the seriousness of this in our families' lives. I am concerned where our homes are going with technology. I want to raise awareness that if you do not guide your children through the world of technology, that there's going to be trouble for you tomorrow, or for your children. There simply will be. So, a number of points. Number one, we must equip our children with tools to empower them. And this is kind of a long point here. But we must equip our children with tools to empower them to make informed choices and develop the ability to distinguish between what aligns with God's truth and what contradicts it. Now, maybe that's a lot of big words. But what I mean by this is, as our children get older, we can't always just say, do this and do that. We must establish a foundation that they can work from. Establish a standard early in your home. Teach the principles of God's word. Teach them self-control. Teach them how to serve others. Children at an early age think about themselves. We know that. We understand that. So the quicker that we teach them to think about serving others, the better off they will be. I'm convinced of that. I think these things are very important in establishing a foundation. And parents, we must set the example in these things. In this rapidly advancing digital age, the landscape of parenting has undergone significant transformation, bringing with it so much, bringing with it dimensions and challenges that previous generations have not encountered. As Christian parents this morning, we find ourselves at a very critical time as we have these young children and we're molding them and shaping them for life. And it's essential for us to equip ourselves with the knowledge and wisdom necessary to do that, to navigate our families. The impact of technology, I already said this, I believe, but the impact of technology on their lives is undeniable. And unless you set that standard in your home, your children will, of some nature or another. And it has created a lot of, technology has created a lot of challenges today. I think in parenting, it has created a lot of challenges in our schools, in our churches. A lot of challenges that we need to deal with. Character nurturing our children's faith and guiding their choices has never been more important than now in this digital age. Children are growing up in an environment where smartphones and social media platforms and virtual connectivity are integral parts of their daily life. It's all around them. And however, with the opportunities and benefits that technology brings, there are also some unique challenges and potential dangers that we must address. We must think about as families and as a church. We'll get into some of those practical areas in just a bit. I need to keep moving here. Time's moving on. But as Christian parents, we cannot turn a blind eye to these potential pitfalls, but approach them with discernment and and wisdom and proactive measures to protect and guide our children. Fathers, do you know what your children have at their fingertips? Do you know what apps your children have? Do you have a family plan of some kind? In navigating the digital landscape, we must hold firm to the timeless wisdom found in God's Word. And I've alluded to this a little bit already, but this is my second point. In navigating this digital landscape, we must hold firm to the timeless wisdom found in God's Word. It's laid out. It's there. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says, Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I believe it takes intentional training our children in the ways of the Lord. We must be intentional about it. We must be intentional about this if we are going to stay on top of it. All right, as Christian parents, well, I want to think about teaching healthy digital lifestyle. And I have some points under this now. At those two main points, I have a number of points under this now. As Christian parents, well, I'm going to use, several points here. The first one is that I want to share is that you need to establish clear guidelines of technology usage in your home. I'm just going to say some practical things here, some things that I've found, some things that I think about, and maybe you think of other things. That's fine and good. But number one, you need to establish clear guidelines for technology usage in your home. By setting these guidelines, we help our children develop healthy habits and responsibility. By having these guidelines, we do that. And this involves discussion between you and your children. I'm talking now about, a little older children where they can understand what you're talking about and so on. We'll hit, real young children here in just a bit possibly. But this involves discussion between you and your children, helping them to open up where they are willing to share and understand and maybe even mutually agree with the guidelines that you as parents set in the home. Time limits for screen usage. Monitor phone usage. First of all, how soon is it that your child actually needs a phone? How soon is that? It might be different for different of us. I'm not critical of that. For us, it's been when they start driving. I haven't felt like our children needed to have a phone with them until they start driving, going off on their own. For you, maybe it's at a little different time. But monitor phone usage, text message content. Think about that. You need to monitor that as parents. Do you take your children's phone and even your youth's phone and monitor that? See, Is the message or are the text messages of good content? Is it appropriate content? Was it even necessary to send that text? No, you don't have to be looking at their phones every other hour or every day or anything like that. But monitor it. Have a system where you as a parent monitor those things. It is your responsibility. And you know what? I believe your children will come to the point very quickly that's what they want. They want you to do that. I had one of my boys, I shouldn't maybe use examples with my children sitting here, but one of them came to me, this has been a number of years ago, and said, "Dad, I want you to check up on my phone. Take my phone and use it, or look at it." Well, I wasn't doing so well at that time, and we need to do that. He was facing some struggles, and he wanted me to help with that. Fathers, it is your responsibility to do that, to monitor those things. These guidelines should be rooted in biblical principles and tailored to the unique needs of your family. Not all families are the same. Not all children face the same things. Take this as an opportunity to have discussion with your children as to what is appropriate and what is not. Last Sunday we talked about life being an object lesson. Take these things as lessons, as object lessons, and talk about these things. Take these as opportunities to have discussion with your children. Maybe if it's not appropriate, not just tell them, well, no, that's not appropriate, but why isn't it appropriate? A great opportunity for good teaching. You probably are doing this, but I just want to encourage us to keep that openness and communication. Just keep it open and alive. Number two, you need to create a technology-free zone and designate a screen time. Now, by a technology-free zone, I mean that there are times that the cell phones and computers and MP3 players, whatever all they are laid aside and you have family life. It's time to have family life. Lay those things aside. That can be done maybe at mealtime or whatever time of the day you decide to do that. I need to be reminded of that at mealtime. I far too often have that phone laying beside my plate. That's not a good place for it at mealtime when you're sitting around the table with your family. I'll just say that. I need to, it's not that I continually am getting my phone during mealtime, but is it necessary to have it right there with us at mealtime when it's family time? For us to create a balanced lifestyle for our children, I think it is beneficial for us to set aside for a time those things that distract us from having family time. I've been in situations already where everyone's faces were glued to their phone screens. Recently, I was visiting a home where that was the case. I was the visitor, and I looked around, and every single person in that room, in that living room and dining room, were on their phone, and it didn't give me a very good feeling. And I'm almost embarrassed to say what I did then. I simply got out my phone and did the same thing. But it didn't feel good. It didn't. That is not socializing. These things that I'm sharing are just suggestions, and you have other things that you could say and add to this. But there are some things that I see as being important for me as a father. I felt it important or not necessary that our younger youth have their phones with them at night. It's not necessary. My wife and I have a policy that until our children are around the age of 20 or so, their phones come to our bedroom at night, and that's where their chargers are. That's where they stay. Again, you have yours. What I'm saying is we need policies. We need things in place that work for us and that help us, our methods of teaching our children responsibility. As our children get older and have more responsibility, those things change. We know that. But I believe having guidelines like this gives us the opportunity to establish principles that will go with them through life. Now, to you young parents this morning, you might think you're not at this point yet of some of these things that I've been talking about, but I want to caution you. And I'm sure you're doing well in these things, but I think it does us good to be reminded. But little children get very captivated by these lit up screens. They simply do. And we know that we're just quite amazed at a very young age. They get so captivated by that. It's just amazing how quickly these little ones pick up on what buttons to push and how to operate a phone. Well, we need to start early. We need to set guidelines. Set guidelines in your home when your children are small. Maintain a healthy balance between the digital world and real life experiences. Number three, encourage face-to-face interactions and offline activity. Encourage face-to-face interactions and offline activity. That is somewhat similar to the point we just talked about. And not only face to face. I'm going to add this in here. This thing about texting. I guess for me, I think about it fairly often. Well, I'd just rather talk to that person. We can so easily get caught up in texting something to someone when we should maybe get our phone, get our handy gadget, and push the contacts or the speed dial or whatever and their number and simply call them and talk to a voice, talk to someone. There's something about that I think builds relationships than to simply text back and forth. Something to think about. But while technology provides avenues of communication, it is essential to inspire and prioritize face-to-face interactions with our children. That is very important. That I think so much and that is being missed today. And I believe we as parents must set the example in this. We must set the stage for that. Engaging in family outings, playing games together as a family. Those kinds of things are important. Helping our children have a well-rounded approach to a life beyond the digital realm. Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16 say, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. It takes so much wisdom today in the evil days that we are in. The wisdom found in this scripture reminds us of the importance of being intentional about it. If we are going to develop that kind of home life, we are going to have to get intentional about it. It encourages us to... Well, I'll backtrack. If we are going to develop biblical principles in these things, they first must be instilled within us before we can get intentional about it. It encourages us to approach technology usage with discernment. Sometimes I get concerned about where it is going to take us, all this stuff. You know, while there is a lot of good, I already mentioned this, there's a lot of good usage with it. It's of nature that we must work carefully. It takes a lot of wisdom to guide our families so that they're victorious in this, walking wisely in a world where distractions abound. By setting healthy boundaries for ourselves and our children, we can redeem the time, as this passage says that I just read. I talked a little bit about this before, but nurturing open communication in your home is so important. When you close off that communication, you will not know where your children are. We must maintain a relationship that our children feel free to come and talk to us about these things. Feel free to share things that they see, things that are bothering them, maybe failings or whatever it is, or concerns that they see in this. We need to foster an environment of trust, acceptance, and unconditional love. That is so important in working through these things with our children. If we don't have those things, we're not going to be able to reach them and encourage them in the way that we should. We encourage them to open up, knowing that they can rely on our support and guidance. Our children need to feel that we have their heart. By engaging in open and respectful conversations with your youth, it will bring about a trust that will cause them to be willing to talk to you in more of the heavier things of life. Number 4, guide their media consumption. You know, in this, we as parents want to shield our children from the pressures of so many things. And that's right and good. We want to do that, especially our young children. But for me, it's something that I've thought a lot about, I guess, the last several years. For me, as our children have come more to the older stages of childhood, it's just been impressed upon my mind the importance of of guiding them through what is out there that they simply can't avoid all their lives. We can't shield them from that all of their lives. And we need to guide them. We need to give them the material, the tools that they can, that they have it within themselves to say, no, I'm not going there. Media consumption. Some of this is plain down unavoidable. Encourage our children to approach these things with a discerning eye. Talk about those things. Questioning the messages and values portrayed. By fostering a critical mind thinking, we empower them to make informed choices and develop the ability to distinguish between what aligns with God's truth and what contradicts it. This morning, it is simply not possible to completely shield them from all the negative influences, but we certainly can be proactive in guiding them through those things and giving them a base from which they can work off of. Teaching biblical values is paramount to guiding our children. We must impart to them the importance of aligning their choices with God's word. The importance of that. Number 5, cultivating a strong spiritual foundation. We must prioritize faith and spiritual growth in the lives of our children. The constant influx of information and distractions can easily pull them away from God and His Word. We need to be alert to what it is doing. We must create an environment that nurtures their relationship with God and fosters spiritual development. That is so important. What kind of environment do we have our children in? Is it an environment that is helping them to establish convictions of their own? We aren't going to be with them all of life, all of their lives, to tell them what they can do and can't do. Again, I alluded to that already. Parents, we are leading and we must make the right choices in this world of technology. One of the most effective ways to cultivate a strong spiritual foundation is to have a daily communication with God. Start early in life where that is established in their lives. Personal Bible reading and prayer. Encouraging our children and our youth to do that. More could be said. The last thing I wanted to mention is number 6. Becoming a good role model ourselves. Becoming a good role model ourselves. We are setting the course for them. Let's be the right example. At a very young age, I'm repeating myself now, but at a very young age, our children catch on what is important to us. They know what is important to you as a father and as a mother in these things. We as parents are light to our children. How much time do we spend on our phones? Texting, whatever. Are we able to lay down our phones and spend quality family time? They notice that. They see that. Spend time face to face, having good conversations. I treasure those times, sitting around in the living room where we can just talk about the day's happenings and the things that are on everyone's mind. Those are important times for families. Lay down the phones and do that. Spend quality family time doing things together. Well, we need to bring this to a close. You as parents, again, have a tremendous responsibility and a tremendous privilege. And I just want to say, God bless you to all of you parents, wherever you're at in life. Maybe you have real young children. Maybe you have older children. Maybe our grandparents. But God bless you wherever you're at in life. He has you here for a reason. He has these children. He has given these children to you to to raise and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. May God give you wisdom and direction as you continue to do that. Let's kneel together in prayer.